Blog Talk Radio.
That was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we're so glad to be here on today, the first session in the month of March, and we're pushing on toward spring, and we thank God for that. And we'd like to welcome our Blog Talk friends, our Facebook friends, our Twitter followers and friends, and our LinkedIn connections and friends to Blog Talk Radio. So what a blessing it is to be able to get into the Word of God, to search the Scriptures, to look into the perfect law of liberty, to read, like in Nehemiah, they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. So, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. So, hold on to her, she is thy life. So, that is in the masculine agenda when you talk about wisdom. We know the Bible was written in the that was in the feminine agenda, her holding on to wisdom. But we know the Bible was written in the masculine agenda when you say, except a man be born again. It's not just talking about a man, but it's talking about mankind. So also, like in the book of Genesis, when the Lord, the generation of the book of Adam, and when God, the day that God created man, so the writer goes on to say, he called their name Adam. So it wasn't just talking about Eve, but it's talking about mankind as a whole. And so, in the fifth chapter of Genesis. So we thank God. Nothing like knowing what the Word of God says. And then so you get an understanding of what His Word says. So very important to do that. So we thank God we've been going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And so we are continuing Apostle Paul's missionary journey. So know that he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and so much work he did. He came in, he can rightly say when he wrote in the book of Ephesians, that how we got to redeem the time, for the days are evil, because he came in redeem, you're trying to make up for lost time when you're redeeming the time. So this is what he was saying. He said that we got, you know, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. All things I reprove are made manifest by light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. He goes on, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time for the days, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So he definitely was a master teacher and wanted everybody to get an understanding of what God's word is saying. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is St. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, one of his prison epistles. And these individuals were already spirit-filled, or they were already saved. They already had been down in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. They already had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them to utter, as it was prophesied and preached that it's going to come to pass. Joel 2 and 28, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. It shall come to pass, saith God. And Joel 2 and 28, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So that means they would speak the word of God, they would preach the word of God. So thank God for the Holy Ghost. So Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So that is my long-standing question, not just for me, not just me saying it, but it's God trying to get your attention, and that is with the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we talked about that during our lesson on the last week and then the week before last as we go through the Acts of the Apostles. So we are thankful that we're able to walk through the book of Acts. We have been through there before when I had mentioned on either the last week before last in our lesson that we had one of our ministers that's gone on he moved to another state. He's an educator and he's a history. He was our historian, and he walked us through the book of the Acts of the Apostles a few years ago and gave the history of it as he walked through. So that was a blessing. So last week we ended up here. Apostle Paul had let them know that he was going to go. He had to go to Jerusalem, so he had left Troas and to Miletus, him and the Ephesian elders. He's talking here, letting them know. And when from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. So, see, the whole word of God, everyone in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. This was in the 19th chapter, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So we hear, just doing a little recap here, he was telling the elders, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. So he says, he's pouring his heart out to them, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Incidentally, like, you have the Holy Ghost, you're going to be emotional, even more so, because the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is in you, and Jesus was. That's why he wept. He wept over Jerusalem, and any prophet of God, even in the Old Testament, they weren't infilled with the Holy Ghost as the New Testament church is, but the Spirit of God will come upon them. But you take the prophets like Isaiah, and Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, but the prophet Isaiah and Samuel, they would cry unto the Lord. So the word cry means to pray, means that, you know, they supplicated also, but they literally were in tears. Hezekiah, when he made his request to the Lord, and when the prophet came to him and let him know to set his house in order, he's going to die and not live, he turned his face toward the wall, told the Lord, remember now how I've walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. So then the writer, Isaiah, says Hezekiah wept sore. So that's some sure enough boo-hooing, to weep yourself sore. But they did. So he says here that he was serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears. He's literally talking about tears. And temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither I count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And that's a mystery right there, letting you know that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. He was God in the flesh. I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every man, every one, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So right here we're doing a little recap to come on in to where we want to go this week. So I have showed all things how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. See, that's a principle that a lot of people don't understand. What would you rather be? What position would you rather be in, the receiving or the giving? And so what he's saying is more blessed to give than to receive. So if you are able to give, then you are blessed already. And I'd rather be in that position where
if somebody got a need, I can meet the need. To, you know, anon, that's a biblical word, means right away. That's, I'd rather be in that position than, the, you know, I got to wait till I get paid, like most people have to do, but I'd rather be able to be in that position. That is my prayer, to be able to be in that position. Is more blessed to give than to receive. So we're talking about needs. We're not just talking about, we used to say all the time, people trying to hustle you. There was a guy one time begging years ago at church. And so we used to have evening service at that particular time. So this is in the 80s, I recall. So anyway, we came back for evening service. This guy was still there, I think, in the fellowship hall, and the city that he was trying to get to, he could have walked. So, you know, you have people trying to hustle you and trying to play on your emotions. So we never mind meeting a need or wanting to help someone that has a genuine need, but we're not the place to be hustled. Just because we're church people don't mean we're going to let somebody hustle us. That don't go like that. So, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship. So this is where we left off on last time. So today, we're talking about his missionary journey continues, and he is on his way to Jerusalem. But just like to say, like we've been saying, and it matters not, because if you, I'm from the school of, you haven't preached until you made them mad. You can look at what's going on here, even with the great Apostle Paul. So this is not a smooth, go over smooth, but you got to, this is like B.F. Goodrich, right where the rubber meets the road. And so I don't care how touchy a subject is. I've been in the Word. I've been around long enough to search it out and to know that one thing, there are no apostles today. This is the last apostle right here that we're reading about here in the Acts of the Apostles. I don't care who these people are. They're not going to worry me. They're not going to shake me. There are no apostles. They weren't eyewitnesses. They weren't picked by the Lord. They weren't taught personally by the Lord. They did not write the New Testament scriptures, and they surely not even willing to die a horrible death as the apostles all did, except for the Apostle John, who was the John, the one who we call him the Revelator, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. So there are no apostles nowadays. So it's just a shame. I'm not gonna address nobody as such if I can help it. So this is Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he just like he said, last of all he was seen of me, one born out of due season. By the grace of God, I am what I am. So we move on here, and it came to pass that after we were gotten from them, we had lunch. We came with a straight course into Kos, and the day following into Rhodes, and from thence unto Petra. And also, should you desire to call in, our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566, 646-716-6566. You're welcome if you have a question, or should you have a comment, you are welcome to call in. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenix, we went abroad and set forth. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlay her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. See, remember the comments, what we just read, what we were talking about on last week. He was saying, none of these, he says, the bonds and afflictions abide me. And he went on to say, none of these things move me. So he goes on here, I don't count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. So they were just saying, you know, the things that was going to befall him at Jerusalem. So he even said that I'm not only ready to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, how many apostles is ready to do that nowadays? None. They just want to be, feel like they are important, or they're ignorant at the least, because you got to know what the Word of God says. So they were the ones who were all of those qualifications that I've made mention of, and then they laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. So they were eyewitnesses, and they were taught by personally by the Lord. Even Apostle Paul was one born out of due season. So, and when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. They all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city and were kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and returned home again. We had finished our course from Tyre. We came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. What a testimony. This is, see, that's not, some people think that evangelist is a feminine term, but this man was Philip the evangelist. He was the first one that named in the scriptures, Philip the evangelist. He had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. In other words, they spoke the word of God. We tarried there many days and came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. This is right here what I made mention of a few minutes ago. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? A question, for I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. My question is, how many apostles, people, so-called apostles nowadays, are willing to die for the name of the Lord Jesus? That's a good question. They probably couldn't answer that themselves. So he goes on, when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. So that's what we're talking about today. Those are our tags. The will of the Lord be done. So we're still talking about the early church, which we've been talking about for quite some time now. And our theme is the Godhead. There's no such thing as the Trinity. No, we don't believe in no Trinity. That is a freak. If you got more than one head, you're a freak. God is the head. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. It's only one head. So you understand the scriptures. I, Jesus, send mine angel to testify these things. I am the and offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star. So we're moving on here in our lesson here. So he wouldn't be persuaded. So we took up our carriages. After those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Manson of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Now Luke is the writer here of the Acts of the Apostles. So he is the one that is writing, giving the account here in this particular event that's going on. The day following, Paul went in with us, unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews that are there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they inform, and they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear thee, they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we do, that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. And as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from strangled and from fornication. Then Paul took the men the next day, purifying himself with them, entering into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, excuse me, crying out, Men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together and took Paul, drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions, ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. So see, that's, people hate change, but change is inevitable. See, this there, you, they were no longer under the law. He had to set them in order. But for the, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's in Romans, the 8th chapter. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with chains, demanded who he was and what he had done. Some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. In other words, they were carrying him, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, Away with him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, May I speak unto thee? Who said, Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarshish, of the city, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. When he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. See, Paul, Apostle Paul knew several languages. So, men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I made known unto you when they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue. To them they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarshish, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. He's talking about the apostolic way, the new way, the new and living way, the new covenant, the New Testament church is what he was persecuting, because Judaism back then. And God got his attention in the ninth chapter of Acts. Said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecutest. So he goes on here. So he's giving this testimony. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering in the prisons, both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound in unto Jerusalem for to be punished. This is what he's talking about. He's giving his testimony in the ninth chapter of Acts. He had letters to go to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. They that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. When I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. See, this is, he was blind for 3 days. In the ninth chapter of Acts, he gives his testimony. He gives his testimony here, and he's given his testimony before Agrippa in the 26th chapter of Acts, which we will get to in the future. And so he says, when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him, he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. And thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. See, there it is right there. What you've seen and heard. You had to be an eyewitness to be an apostle. Thou shalt be his witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. Now why tarriest thou? See, this is here. Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There it is right there. That's the only way the New Testament church is to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why he was saying here. So this is the only way to be baptized, and this is the only way they ever baptized. So it was changed in 320 A.D. at the Nicene Council. That so-called revelation, which was a devilation that Constantine had, that mother of harlots was born, and they changed the baptism, and they so-called Trinity, which is a lie from the pit of hell. There is no Trinity. There sure ain't no divine Trinity. That's ridiculous, because anything with more than one head is a freak, and God is not a freak. And it came to pass when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Said, so this is the second time. And so, saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. This is what the Lord said. Get out of here. They're not going to. So if you read in 2 Corinthians, they let him down in a wall, in a basket by the wall, and he escaped out of their hands. So should you desire to call 646-716-6566, that is, if you have a question or if you have a comment, 646-716-6566. And so he says, and I said, Lord, they know that I am prison and beaten every synagogue, them that believed on thee. See, he was a persecutor. So he said, when you read in Timothy, he was saying that he did it ignorantly and unbelief, but God was merciful unto him. See, this is the point. That's why he could write, and Romans was his masterpiece. He was saying, for the wages, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is Paul writing. And then so Romans 6:23, he lets you know something. You're going to get paid. Everybody's going to get paid one way or another. So he goes and says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's a roadblock that was put up, and that roadblock is Calvary. So you got to do works meet for repentance. So it's very simple. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, repent. The same message John the Baptist preached, the same message Jesus preached when he came on the scene. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Promises unto you, this is on the day of Pentecost, to you Jews, your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it's up to us as individuals to receive the gospel message. This is why Jesus said, he said unto them in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to, that means human beings. Then he goes on, he that believeth, what you believe, that I died, that I was buried, that I rose again the third day, that I'm going back to heaven, I'm sending back the Holy Ghost, I'm coming back to catch away my bride, we call the rapture, and I'm coming back again, my second coming, 7 years later, to step foot on the Mount of Olives and crack it in half and fight, and then I'm going to rule for 1,000 years. And I'm going to marry the church. So you got to realize who he is. In his time, he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:15, he says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. Potentate means supreme ruler. He's going to show in his times who he is. So he goes on here, how he let him down. They're not going to receive your testimony. I said, Lord, they know how I imprisoned and beaten every synagogue, them that believed on thee. When the blood of Stephen, of the martyrs, thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. This is in the 7th chapter of Acts, I believe. He said unto me, this is the Lord now, told him, depart. I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Remember, he's going to be the Jesus was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. So why is he going to the Gentiles, Apostle Paul? Because in Romans 11th chapter, he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, I magnify my office. So that's why he was going. He gave them, they gave him audience unto this word and lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It is not fit that he should live. See, that's the devil. That is the devil, because he was doing nothing but giving his testimony. And that's what we can do, give our testimony. It's up to others to believe. We had to believe somebody else's testimony, what God did for us. But the word of God is what is going to save you. And so the apostles' doctrine, that's why Ephesians 2:20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So what is written in, what's written in the law of Moses, what's written in the prophets, what's written in the Psalms, Jesus says, concerning me. In Luke the 24th chapter. So this, we're not preaching ourselves, but we're preaching the Lord Jesus. So the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and he was saying that talking about the gospel is the savior of life unto life and death unto death. So you don't have to accept it, but it's going to be a witness against you in the day of judgment. And you don't want to be standing in this before the great white throne, because the church is not going to be there. Those are going to be the people before the great white throne that got up in the second resurrection. That's why he said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. So that's the dead in Christ take part in the first resurrection. But when you're born again, you're planted together in the likeness of his death. You're going to be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that the old man is crucified, that you should not henceforth serve sin. And this is in the sixth chapter of Romans. He that is dead, this is Paul's masterpiece. He that is dead is freed from sin. So when you're baptized unto death, that you should rise to walk in newness of life. Oh, yeah, he got it right. Ain't no apostles nowadays. They can call themselves whatever they want. They don't know what they're talking about. They need to search the scriptures, because you ain't got to be, they're just trying to make themselves or feel like they are so important. And so as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that they should be examined by scourging, and that he might know whereof they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? He asked him a question. And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yeah. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum I obtained this freedom. Paul said, but I was free born. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. See, he knew the law. Like we would say, he knew the law backwards and forward. This man was an educated man. He said, I counted all dung that I might win Christ. In the book of Philippians, you know, said, you know, we look henceforth for the Lord Jesus, who shall change. This is in the book of Philippians. Our vile body, like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. He went on to say, our conversation is in heaven. In other words, our lifestyle. We living right. So y'all can say what you want, is what he's saying. I'm paraphrasing, but I got this. I'm living right now. I know about the law, but we're under grace. That's why he said himself, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Two words, God forbid. So you got to know what the word of God says. And so on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. And Paul earnestly, see, it's continuation on into the 23rd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou witted wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be written contrary to the law? Be smitten contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then Paul said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part was Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. When he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. And here's the answer. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. See, this is what they tried to do. The Sadducees tried to trap Jesus, because they was talking about, under the law of Moses, if a man died, he didn't raise up seed, then his brother took his wife to raise up seed, and this one woman was married seven times, and no one raised up seed to her, seven brothers, and then last of all, the woman died. So the question they asked, whose wife shall she be in the regeneration? Well, they knew that that's a stupid question for the Pharisees to ask, Sadducees to ask, because they didn't believe in the resurrection, they didn't believe in angels, nor a spirit. So that was a stupid, ignorant question for the Sadducees to ask. They were just trying to trap Jesus. But he answered neither. For in the resurrection, you neither male nor female, but you're going to be as angels. That's what we try to tell people. See, just like God is a spirit, so he became a man, the man Christ Jesus, when he came into the world that he made. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. But the divine essence of God is spirit, which means God is spirit. He is neuter gender. He is neither male nor female. So in the regeneration, that's going to be the same way we are as angels. We're going to be neuter gender, neither male nor female. So in other words, that slaps a death lick into the folly of that foolishness of the group that think they're going to get a bunch of virgins if they blow themselves up, which is stupid. You can't even find your brain, let alone anything else. You're not going to do nothing or get nothing. And that's an insult to whoever they think God is to think that they're going to get however many virgins. It shows you how foolishness that the devil put in the minds of people. You're not going to get nothing. You blowed yourself up. Thou should not kill. You ain't supposed to kill yourself. So that's ridiculous. I mean, that's not like the law killed you, because they're not even a law enforcement officer, but they're a so-called suicide bomber. They're gonna be wake up, all right, be judged and cast into a devil's hell because they got deceived, is what that is. And so Sadducees says there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. There arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees, part arose, strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Now, we're going to go on. We look at what's happening here. This is why Apostle Paul said that since God, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is in the 8th chapter of Romans. But what it literally means, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? It literally means, since God is for us, who can be against us, is the question. Because he goes on, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so going on here, in the night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, did you hear what I just said? The Lord stood by Paul. The same Lord says, the Lord, even Jesus, has appeared unto thee. Thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. In the 9th chapter of Acts, in the 22nd chapter of Acts, the same Jesus, the same Lord. So the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Remember I was telling you that Rome, the book of Romans, was the Apostle Paul's masterpiece, those 16 chapters. Rome was a horrible place, and Rome is not God's holy mountain. Rome was horrible. They cut babies out of women. They were crazy. They'd done some damnable things in Rome. But he had heard of their faith. That's why he wrote that book. He dealt with the law. That was his masterpiece, the book of Romans. But that is not God's holy mountain. They need the gospel too. So God's holy mountain is and always was and always will be Jerusalem. That's God's holy mountain. And the devil knows it. But he's a liar. And these people think that Rome is and Mecca and all that. That's not God's holy mountain. God's holy mountain is Jerusalem. He only got one holy mountain. There can't be a holy mountain here and a holy place there. No. His holy mountain is Jerusalem. That's why John said, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Notice what I just said. He saw the New Jerusalem, holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, a city suspended in mid-air. Who ever seen a city like that? Nobody. But it's going to come to pass. And when it was day, certain of the Jews band together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. But see, notice what he said. You're gonna bear witness of me also at Rome. So it don't matter what devil starve himself. See, there's a difference between a fast and a hunger strike. A fast, God orders a fast. But a hunger strike, you can go on a hunger strike if you want to. You're just starving yourself. God ain't in that foolishness. That's demonic. Or that's satanic, should I say. So they bound themselves under a curse. Until they ain't going to eat or drink until they have killed Paul. He ain't going nowhere until it is time. And when they were more than 40, which had made this conspiracy. So in other words, that many people said they ain't going to eat and drink till they kill Paul. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Remember, we taught, pay very close attention to repetition. They just said about killing him. Then they said it again. So important. See, that's why Jesus said that the thief cometh for nothing but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. He's the thief. In St. John 10 and 10. Oh, yeah, that's what he want to do, is to steal your joy, kill your body, so your soul can be destroyed in hell. Because he's a liar. He's the father of it. He's a murderer, John says, from the beginning. This purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. So he's a liar. He's a father of lies, and he's a murderer from the beginning. So we go on here. They're talking about this great curse. We will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, ye with the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfect concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. You think God don't know about conspiracy? God know everything. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere in every place. He's omnipotent. He have all power. Like the devil, that's why you got to know what God's words say and stay in tune with God. Nobody going to trick you. So that's what happened to Abner, the captain of the host, when he was tricked and stabbed in the under the rib. And King David lamented and was saying a prince has fallen this day in Jerusalem. That's why King David lamented and said, die of Abner as a fool dieth. So your hands weren't bound. In other words, they tricked you out there and killed you. And the king followed his briar and wept. A great man and a prince has fallen in Israel this day. But see, now we have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow as though you would inquire. So anyway, they're trying to trick him. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, which was his nephew, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath heard a thing, he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to tell thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it thou hast to tell me? He said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain, then let the young man depart and charge them, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. So see, that's how it happened. God always got somebody to let you know, and he already had warned him that you're going to testify of me at Rome too. So, and he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, spearmen 200, and at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. He wrote him a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias unto the most Laius, excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then I came with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known this, the cause whereof they accused him, I brought him forth unto the council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of the law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or bonds. And when it was told me how the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. So that was the end of that letter. Then the soldiers, as was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. And on the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. When the governor had read the letter, he asked of what providence he was. When he understood that he was in Cilicia, this is what he said, I will hear thee, said he, when thine own accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. So this is what they did. They kept Apostle Paul in that judgment hall. So
we're going to talk to you more on next time. And remember, my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's a pertinent question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into heaven.